The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
It's here. Peloton's best offer of the season. Get up to $300 off accessories when you purchase a Peloton tread. Choose from accessories like a heart rate monitor, non-slip grip dumbbells, yoga blocks, and more. If you've been looking for a sign to join Peloton, this offer gives you everything you need to get going. Hurry. Peloton's best offer of the season is here, but not for long. Visit onepeloton.com to learn more. All access membership separate. Limited time offer cannot be combined with other offers. See additional terms at onepeloton.com.
What if he just makes a film with a monster chasing somebody through
Could they do the Witches of Dathomir horror movie? I swear to life that will work. I'm telling you.
It would work. 100% it would work.
It'll work. A hard PG-13, like...
No, make it rated R. Let's go for it. Let's get the first rated R Star Wars character. Yeah, get the first rated R Star Wars.
Welcome to a galaxy far, far away. Here at the Cantina Podcast, we provide top shelf service, including rumors, leaks, news, and reviews. Come in, order a Loman Ale, and remember, no droids allowed.
Welcome, everyone, to another edition of the Cantina, the Zone Reverse Podcast Network, and LRM Online's premium, if only, Star Wars YouTube and podcast show. I am Cam Clark. As always, I am here with my co-pilot and our navigator, Kyle Malone and Shockey. How are you doing, guys?
Doing good. What about you, man?
I'm doing good.
So before we kind of get into things... We are the Zone Reverse Podcast Network. You can find loads of really good stuff on there. Animeverse, Animeverse.
Just call it AVR.
AVR, there you go.
That's easier. You know, covering a lot of the different anime that's out there at the moment. Kyle's running that. We've got Marvel Multiverse Mondays, which is kind of like the Marvel version of mayhem. This show. That's right, it's mayhem now. Sorry. Yeah, I'm good at this. Normally, if you watch this every week, you probably know Kel does this sort of stuff. So, you know, he's just got a knack for it. You know, there's just something about me that's kind of like, meh, with this sort of stuff. It's just as simple as that. what else have we got? Breaking Geek Radio. That's a kind of one of our flagship shows, if you like. That's every week that's on there. And, of course, head over to lrmonline.com for all the breaking news. And also check out our genre shot videos that Kel, Shockey, and Manny have been doing as well, which is kind of like trailer reactions. Those are really, really kind of fun as well to get involved in and see what people think. So on this week's agenda, we should probably start off by saying that we were not here last week. Probably part of the reason for that is because there has not been... Well, we did kind
just
of
straight forgot.
Legit forgot that it was Thursday.
Because there was no news.
There was no news that it was Thursday.
Yeah, there was nothing to remember, hey, we need to talk about it.
There really wasn't a lot of news. So we're kind of going over the things that have been covered here in the last 2 weeks that we've reported on LRMonline.com. But there's not a massive amount of stuff to kind of pull from last week, if you like. So more, actually, a couple of stories that we've just published kind of yesterday, today kind of thing that we're going to be talking about. We are sponsored by Glow Generation, so thank you very much to those guys. And we're going to hear more from them later on in the show. So, guys, where we're going to start off with is kind of the transition between video games into live action, potentially. And... we have a report recently from Cal Kestis himself, in other words, Cameron Monaghan, who kind of was asked if there's any plans for him to go into live action. Now, Cameron Monaghan plays Cal Kestis in the Jedi Fallen Order game and the soon, we'll talk about that in a little bit, released game, Star Wars Jedi. What's the name again? Sorry, Star Wars Jedi.
Fallen or Survivor.
Survivor. That's it.
Yeah, Fallen Order and then Survivor.
And, you know, he's in them. But, you know, he did speak to Screen Rant recently. And, you know, they asked him, you know, hey, you know, all the fans have been talking. You know, could you come into the live action sort of arena? His answer was, well, of course there's interest. That's about all I can say, and he kind of laughed at that. So, you know, that would indicate to him that there has been some discussion or some talk round about him making a live-action appearance. So, over to you guys. I'll start with you, Shawky. What would you think about Cal Kestis becoming a live-action character at some point, and where, if at all, you wanted to see him, where would you like to see him show up, what era?
Well, it's going to be interesting because it's got to be post Revenge of the Sith, but maybe sometime, you know, before Return of the Jedi in some aspect of it. So that means that there has to be some sort of project created in that timeline. And really, there's only one project we know of going on right now, in live action wise, that's Andor. So
Andor maybe is getting a season two.
Yeah. Yeah, and so you see someone as Cal Kestis in that. Animated wise, Bad Batch you could throw in there. But yeah, I just don't see. It's just everything's kind of been done. I think that the future of Star Wars, from what we got from Celebration, was is that we're moving into other timeline eras. So either you see an old version of Cal Kestis or. You know, maybe if Tales of the Jedi does well, they do an animated, you know, version of that as a, you know, kind of go back into the Padawan stages of Cal.
He kind of was talking more specifically live action, I guess.
Yeah,
I don't see just live action, that,
though.
What era roughly is the new game going to be set in? Do we know that yet? Like, how far ahead is Survivor compared to Fallen Order? Like, are we
not
still
much
in
farther? Because you have the Inquisitors. Years. Well, so in the trailer, you know, the teaser trailer for Survivor, you get someone who looks like the Grand Inquisitor. I don't think it's the Grand Inquisitor. I think it's the, but it's definitely the alien race that the Grand Inquisitor. Is or yeah, I don't know.
Can't remember the name of them, but the ones
right off the top of my head. But yeah, you're taking that story, so you're going a little bit farther ahead. So because where Fallen Order takes place is you get the kind of the pre-story or whatever right at Order 66, but most of it is 10 years after that, or, you know, roughly.
So round about the same era that Obi-Wan Kenobi's.
Right, so that's already been taken care of.
And then you would expect Survivor a little bit further out, maybe around about the Andor period, maybe even not quite at that.
So you're trying to get close to A New Hope, but then that just, what's the purpose of having that story then?
We've all had the nightmare of time travel and messing with time and Ahsoka.
That's Ahsoka.
Could he appear in Ahsoka? Maybe.
I mean, maybe he's an older person, but you're not getting the young Cal Kestis. I know that.
Well, unless they're doing the time thing, like in one of the world between worlds crap that we're scared of.
Cameron Monaghan currently looks older than the Cal Kestis character did in the first game. Okay. But he doesn't look old enough yet to be post Return of the Jedi era, so like Mandoverse kind of era.
You could easily age him.
Because
it's relatively easy to age up. You know?
Unlike Ahsoka, who kind of just doesn't really age that much anyway, so you get away with that kind of side of things because her species is so long lived.
But like I said, it's not hard to age a human up a decade with makeup. That's easy.
I guess. But I guess maybe the most pertinent question is why? You know, as
because people like it.
I'm so excited. Cal Kestis showed up and for a brief cameo, this has made my year. I won't care. You know, again, it's about the stories, but are we getting too reliant on oh, cameo, look who showed up, look, 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 you know, which has kind of been a bit of Hollywood recently.
I think you're kind of on the point there. Like, what's the purpose of joining it? Kind of like the Quinlan Vos and Obi-Wan Kenobi. It's just more like saying, oh, Quinlan Vos survived Order 66. That's it. I mean, that was really the teaser right there. Could you do something like that in Andor? Or like, hey, we got a former Jedi helping us out, but he's off on in a different planet or whatever, doing something else. Maybe. Could you have it like, you know, in season two, Cassian, you know, interacts with, you know, someone, you know, of that's Cal Kestis, you know. I don't know. I think that
I don't want him to get his own show or anything, because I'm ready to move on from the shit between three and three.
Why do a show when you could just do another video game with him?
You could do another game. Dude, they throw everything at
building, like, if Ahsoka and then at some point Ezra start collecting these Jedis that have kind of been flitting around about the scenes but never really been involved, and do something else with them, you know, which is a reason why they're not with Luke Skywalker, and he's not found any of them at this point, you know. Unless they're building towards something like that, where, you know, there is a purpose, I just kind of don't see the point of it, other than, oh, look, there's
So I understand bringing Ahsoka to live action because of the connections to the Skywalkers and so forth. But, like, Cal Kestis has no connection whatsoever. That was a created character for a video game. Keep it in the video game realm. Whatever story you have for Cal Kestis, keep it as the another video game. Kind of like I watched Uncharted for the first time on Netflix because it just came on. And I'm like, you know, it was kind of like, you know, hey, a little entertaining, you know, Tom Holland and, you know, Mark Wahlberg. But at the same time, too, I'm like, this could have just been a video game. Like, just that's it, point blank. You know, you didn't need to waste money on it. You know, on a big movie budget on it and stuff. So, yeah. I don't, whatever, like, I'm with you, Kyle. Like, there's no need for a standalone show, standalone movie with Cal Kestis. Whatever story you got, just put it in a video game. And whoever wants to play it, and then move on from there. Everything else, we're kind of, like, Andor's it. So if you're going to bring Cal Kestis in as live action, then it has to be season two of Andor. But I don't see how you're going to fit that in.
Just no real need to.
Animated? No. Sure, Bad Batch, throw them in
people
there.
People are mad at us now. You're not giving me my cow!
There's plenty of characters there. That just want to see people show up. Marvel's kind of made a big thing of it, you know.
I know,
just
annoyingly.
Getting people to show up, but it kind of doesn't satisfy me unless it's building towards good stories with those characters that work, you know. Cameos for the sake of cameos rather than, you know, cameos because they were always supposed to come in here. That's I think, the difference. So it would be fair to say that none of the three of us are particularly that keen on the idea. So let's move on. We're kind of sticking with the game, though. Shoki, do you want to tell us a little bit about why the fan base out there is concerned there might be even more delays to Jedi Survivor at the moment?
Yes. So Respawn recently posted a job opening for a senior VFX artist, mainly to work on open world stuff and particles, something I can't think about right at the top of my head. Pretty much just a, you know, come in and fix on some bugs and some issues on the game, right? Which is standard. That's not anything out of the ordinary that any game developer, you know, studio doesn't, you know, it happens. The timing of it's weird, though, because we're here in August, end of August, and we're supposed to get Jedi Survivor in March. Now, if you're looking for a senior VFX artist now, let's say earliest, let's say like they found someone today, you're talking about getting him in September, it's going to take them some time for whatever issues they do have. You're looking maybe, you know, on a good December, having all the bugs and stuff, that's being generous. And so then January, your production for
do we March, have a date when Survivor's supposed to come out? Sorry,
just March 2023. That was at Celebration. That was
yeah
that's not going to happen, though. It's definitely going to be delayed. So, I mean, it's just going back to our last episode, Cantina, another Star Wars video game being delayed. I mean, Star Wars Hunter, again, delayed. Star Wars Knights of the Old Republic remake, delayed indefinitely. You know,
this one might be getting
delayed as well. This was like the hope that, like, for Star Wars video games fans, like,
I mean, the full video game industry is a bit like this at the moment. It's kind of maybe not fair to say Star Wars, but then when you add in the amount of Star Wars shows and movies that get cancelled or delayed as well, you know, you kind of start thinking that there's a pattern there. But, you know, there are a lot of video games, I guess.
Yeah. And its name is Kennedy.
I mean,
because again, it goes to the top. I don't care what anyone says. This is military man speaking. I get that, but it goes to the top, man. Decision makers are responsible for the decisions made, period.
I get you on that. And I definitely, like, there's definitely blame there and stuff. But at the same time, too, like, Respawn or just, like, video games in general. Because you said, like, you nailed it there. This is not the only video game that's been a delay. But, like, I don't know what it is. If it's, like, these developers or studios are, like, signing on to games, making promises they can't keep on, like, keep up to, like, yeah, we could do all this stuff, whatever, you know. And it's just, you know, it's,
I guess, the, you know, when they pitch a game idea, they've got a budget, they've got a timeline that all goes towards that, and somebody's pitching all this to the corporate, the guys at the top who say yes or no, and they're saying yes, no, and then when it comes to it, they're not able to deliver within the timescales that have been set, you know. And I think we where it's an in-house game that we maybe don't know much about, they can kind of hide that, and it's just their own costs that are going up, but we don't need to know about it. But when it's a big franchise like Star Wars that's got a license, you know, and they make big announcements towards it, that's when things become a bit more,
you know, high profile. The one thing I'm curious about on the business side of this is we know Disney Parks, which has been one of its biggest money makers, has not been making the money that it normally did or expected to did because of the last couple of years with the pandemic. We know that subscription fees, marks for subscribers
on have a pointless hotel.
My kind of, to make it shorter, you know, there's a bunch of financial stuff going on. What if we're looking at the results of the pool of money just being smaller because they allocate funds, gaming's more expensive, all of the post-pandemic work, labor, and even energy stuff related. I mean, all of that kind of compounds into it.
Yeah,
could that be, you know, everyone's upset at how long things are taking?
Always evolving. I mean, it was a way to print money when video gaming started to come out because they were very cheap to make. You could get a couple of nerds in a basement and, you know, you could knock out a game and it would make millions. You know, great. Mm-hmm. You know, that's just not the case anymore because the technology's advanced so much. These games require almost, you know, movie level visual effects, you know, to be kind of done on them. And the amount of, the more advanced you get, the more bug potential you have, and the bugs are, you know, far, far harder. You know, it just becomes bigger and bigger and bigger. And the more of these staff, the bigger you go, you know, the more then you need that game to really sell big to make your money back. And how many times have we heard about games just not making money? You know, they come out and they're just written off as a loss and move on. Mm-hmm. And the company, whatever the big company is, whether it be, you know, MS, Sony, CDPR, EA, you know, they just move on to the next game. You know, well, let's grab that one. Enix, that's in the bin.
Yeah. Avengers did crap. Yeah. Let's do Guardians, which did okay, but still not amazing. And
you can
now
tell,
we've got
as much
Wolverine
as Guardians
and Black Panther
did a little bit better. You can tell there wasn't as much money spent on that as there was in the Avengers game. You know, kind of thing as well. Like, they aimed for the sky with Avengers and they just never quite got it. And ultimately, if people don't buy your game, you don't make any money.
Right.
It's a tough industry. It's a really tough industry.
No, I get you on that. But so someone I was talking to, you know, who's a Star Wars fan too, is saying, it was kind of a mistake to have Star Wars Celebration move up, because remember the original date for Star Wars Celebration was September, right? And they bumped everything up to May because they didn't want to compete with D23. The pandemic was over. Let's bump it up. Now it seems like that was a big mistake, because when you have these big conventions, when you do Celebration, you know, you got to have, you know, San Diego Comic-Con style type of announcements, and everything was, oh, we got this, we got that, you know, teaser trailer for Jedi Fallen Order. Now it's almost like they should have waited till September. They should have, you know, they could have still dropped the teaser trailer, but just said, hey, listen, we're still, you know, a little bit away.
Coming soon.
Yeah, coming soon.
Yeah.
You know,
oh, that's all they needed was a title just to officially reveal it without a date, and then they could have just took their time on it. Absolutely.
Yeah, because I remember, like, you know, and they probably will have...
Look at the Rockstar example. Sorry, yeah. Mike, to jump in.
No, you're good.
With GTA, right? They never announce a GTA game until they're kind of... They've probably been working on... We know that they've been working on GTA 6 for years and years and years, but still, officially, there is no GTA 6. It doesn't really exist. And they've certainly not dated it, because, you know... Games like that take absolutely years to get right, and they've got a completely separate team that's been doing the kind of all the updates and keeping things going in the GTA Online. And sometimes fans get like frustrated with that. When is it coming out? When are we getting it? But if they don't have a date for you, if they don't know themselves when it's going to be ready, why release it? Right. Why set one? You know,
because everybody does not want another Cyberpunk. That's the exact.
No.
So you're exactly right. Just, you know, coming soon, we'll wait for it when it drops. Shoot, if I was in charge of marketing, I wouldn't do anything. Like, I would just kind of do little teasers, coming soon, and then a week before it drops, hey, boom, it's coming out. Who cares if it leaks out, like, hey, you know, Survivor's coming out in a month or whatever, but not, I would not put anything hardcore press out.
Yeah, that's just good press, but you'll get the same positive press when you eventually confirm it anyway, right. You know, so.
Yeah. Anyways.
Okay. Well, you know, one more story that's probably worth talking if we go in a completely different angle is our favourite subject to talk about, Kel, our favourite set of Star Wars movies, which is the sequel trilogy. Because we are, you know, absolutely.
We love this sequel trilogy so much.
Yeah, we love it so much. But if you remember, this is an interesting one, because if you remember post Rise of Skywalker, when anyone spoke to any of the kind of, I'm talking about the three leads here. So basically, you know, Poe Dameron, Rey Skywalker, and
quotation marks around that name,
Finn, who doesn't have a second name, so kind of Finn Jedi.
Yeah,
we'll call him. Those three guys, and maybe kind of Daisy that plays Rey was the most like, you know, we'll wait and see. But the other two were kind of like really. They didn't seem keen, shall we say. There didn't seem to be any love for ever coming back to that franchise again. And probably out of the three of them, Oscar Isaac was the one that was most like, yeah, I'm
done.
I've had enough of that. but he was interviewed quite recently by SiriusXM, and they kind of asked him, look, you know, of all the things that you've been in there, you've been in these really big... kind of, would you call it
franchise?
Yeah, franchises. And now you've been in them. What's the kind of, you know, what's the one that people most associate you with? And he was pretty much like right away, that's Star Wars. You know, like literally, people will come out and shout at me in the street, Star Wars, when they see him. You know, rather than like, hi, Mr. Isaac, can we get your autograph? They just randomly shout Star Wars at him. Okay, but. So the kind of question then come up, would he, you know, does he just assume that he will have the chance to return one day if he wants to? Is that something he's kind of thought about? The way he kind of answers it is a bit like, well, it kind of makes you seem like there's nothing planned, like he doesn't assume anything.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he's not that bothered, you know, kind of, he's not rushing to get back there and do it. But he did say, look, at the end of the day, I'm open to anything. You never know. He then went on to explain that, you know, kind of like the time factor is a big thing, because when you're in a big franchise like that, it takes up a massive amount of your time. And now he's got kids to think about. He's got various other projects that he's working on that he's enjoying making as well. Where would you fit something as big as that in would be the tricky. But he did say, but if there was a great story and a great director, and Kathy, as in Kennedy, came to me and said, we've got this great idea. He would be so open to it. So, you know, that's quite a difference from where we were post Rise of Skywalker with Oscar Isaac anyway.
You also forgot to add one big thing in there. A big bag of cash.
Yes. Money.
That's what would get, money would get him back into that without a heartbeat. I mean, look at
I guess when you're in a something like the Star Wars sequel trilogy, they weren't huge when they came into that. I mean, Daisy Ridley wasn't huge. Certainly, John Boyega wasn't huge. Oscar Isaac had been in a few things, but he wasn't that big, I wouldn't say. You know, I mean, the big money earners on that, The Force Awakens, let's say, were probably, in Last Jedi, were Mark Hamill, you know, Harrison Ford.
I mean, that's why you went to go see those.
The big stars. But if they come back again, that would be a different situation, wouldn't it? Because now it's like, well, I am, you know, Poe Dameron, I'm Finn, you know, do you want me back, deliver the cash, and I'll turn up for filming. You know, it becomes a bit of a more difficult negotiation for Lucasfilm.
I was just so disappointed because it really looked like he was going to be the sequel trilogy's Wedge and Tilly's, you know, he was going to be the Wedge of the sequel trilogy, something that we really didn't get in the OT. Wedge was there, but I'm saying like a focus on a fighter pilot, and talk about all the wasted technology that they did have and what great space battles we got in the Star Wars sequel trilogy. That was probably one of the most like disappointing things. So I'm open to him coming back in something. I've mentioned, continue on, make him the Wedge and Tilly's of the Rogue Squadron movies. Mm-hmm. You know, maybe you know, you've got Admiral Wedge and Tilly's instead of Admiral Akbar, and then you've got Commander Dameron instead of Commander Antilles, and you just kind of and you allow that to be inspired by, but
as we've said before, the landscape's there politically in a similar way as it was in the EU post Return of the Jedi. So
you're still going to have First Order seems like the best hunkered place into things. Yeah, I mean,
and the war rumors it was set post Rise of Skywalker as well. Yeah. You know, Rogue Squadron
at one point.
Of course, at this point, we don't know when we're going to see Rogue Squadron, and we have no idea who would be involved. I still think it will happen. I do believe
we're getting Rogue Squadron.
When we're going to see it. I mean, Chalky, what do you think? You know, do you want to see those kind of sequel trilogy guys back for better stories? Are you kind of just not bothered? What do you think about kind of Oscar Isaac coming back as Poe Dameron?
I mean, for me, like I enjoyed all the actors. I think it was the story and the directors that were the biggest weaknesses of the sequel trilogy. But, you know, for Daisy Ridley, I mean, what she did as, you know, as Rey, John Boyega as Finn, Oscar Isaac as, you know, as Poe, I think they were great characters. And I wouldn't mind seeing them in future projects. But like everyone has said, including Oscar Isaac himself, the right story, the right timing of it, everything's got to be right. You know, you just don't throw it in there just to throw it in there. And so I think eventually you're going to see, you know, one of these three come back, or they kind of do a kind of similar to what the sequel trilogy did with the original trilogy characters, throw them back in there for some sort of story, just as a nod. And I'm not talking like now, I'm talking, you know, when, today's kids, when today's kids who grew up with the sequel trilogy are our age and stuff, and we're still old and still like podcasting about almost,
whether it's official or not, like a part 10, basically.
Yeah, part-time gig, just throw them in there and stuff. Just a little nod is the next to the next characters of Star Wars. You could do that.
I don't know.
Yeah, for Rogue Squadron, I think you guys are right. Like, I think it's a great fit, but is it the right story? You know, do you put Poe in a position where he has to build the, you know, the New Republic's, you know, fighter squad.
Yes, you do.
Yeah.
You do.
Yeah, yeah.
You take Stackpole's book and update it with Poe. I think that's more brilliant than even going through the reformation of Rogue Squadron after Yavin or Endor. Like,
I mean, who else is better to train Rogue Squadron who are already good pilots than Poe Dameron, who's like,
I agree with you.
And it's not just training.
Yeah,
it's not just training.
Yeah. What do you mean, like Top Gun?
Shut up.
I mean, I've still not seen Maverick, but is Maverick just the same? It's all training and then go on a mission at the end, or because that seemed to me more like a Rogue Squadron type situation where they're kind of.
That was 100% Rogue Squadron's like storyline, and that's Maverick why Captain Kennedy said we ain't doing it.
Maverick is training for a mission, not just going to a school being at school. It's different. So
yeah.
Anyways.
Yeah, yeah, I get you. You know, that's what I would be looking for, something more like that. Yeah, 100%. Okay, shall we take a break from our lovely sponsors at Grow Generation, guys, and then we'll be back for our kind of final story we're going to talk about this week.
Grow Generation, where the pros go to grow. Grow Generation offers the best deals and discounts on the best grow products on the market. Grow Generation serves customers across the nation and carries a wide inventory of renowned cultivation brands. Go to www.growgeneration.com, where the pros go to grow.
Structure stuff. Anyways, Cam, we're back. You could say welcome back.
Welcome back, everyone. I'm glad you stuck with us.
Indeed.
I think this one could create a bit of discussion amongst the team, because this one we're getting into rumor territory again. And if you remember, we've already talked a little bit about some rumors for the Acolyte. A few weeks ago when we were on, we talked about some sort of potential leaks, or at least people that are claiming to have leaks about some story details about the Acolyte. And although we're not getting into the nitty-gritty of that, because it's absolutely there online if you want, it's worth saying we don't know the validity of this yet. It could just all be one big horrible joke and it's all very, very wrong. But if it is right, if you remember, we talked about, you know, potential characters such as Aura, the Sith Lord Paul, which everybody loves, Darth Paul, which obviously is a code name, but you know, everybody just wants him to be called Darth Paul now. Now, the same people have been putting out some more rumours, and some of them are a little bit specific to stories, so again, I'm not going to go into it, and it's stuff I've read, but I've not even talked about to Kyle or Shoki about this stuff, because they don't want spoilers. But one of the things that they said was that they believe that Darth Plagueis is involved in the story. Now, they made it clear that Darth Paul is not Darth Plagueis. That's not the case. As far as they were concerned, that wasn't the case. But that they do believe that Plagueis is involved in some way in the show. How do you guys feel about that, Kyle? What do you think about Darth Plagueis showing up?
Well, we questioned whether or not he might have even, back when this was very, very first announced, he was like on everyone's radar. Like, is he going to be the main character? Is he the puppet master for this? Is this the connective tissue from the end of the High Republic into the fall of the Republic, prequel trilogy era? When they said 100 years before the prequels, everyone kind of was like, okay, so we won't necessarily see him, you know, training Papa Palpatine or anything.
No, I don't expect
like that.
Well,
but,
well, it could go on for many seasons, I guess.
It could.
I certainly wouldn't expect to see Palpatine.
Yeah, but he was a name that appeared immediately, and he's one that I'm not against seeing in this. It would just all kind of depend on, God, can he please look like, you know, can he not have the appearance changed that much from what most people recognize? Like, we can have some really, really alien people in Star Wars. You know, you don't have to change things too much like they did with the Grand Inquisitor.
It was the same species as the guys from the banking clan, isn't it? If people are, I don't remember their name, but because they're always just referred to as the banking clan in the prequels, but that kind of species is what apparently Plagueis is supposed to look
like. And I know that there's no like canon images of him, just the Legends art, right? So yeah,
that's it.
But a lot of people are familiar with that. So that would be my only like sticking point right now, is kind of like, make sure he looks like people expect. Other than that, I'm open for it. What do you think, Mike?
I'm with you. I think it's a, depending on the story, it's so far, I think that would be a good fit. But like you, it's got to be the right look. I don't know, just from Legends and all that stuff, seeing of what the artist renditions of, you know, Plagueis is and stuff. So yeah, I'm not against it. I'm not too, you know, like, oh my gosh, you know, we got to have it.
My God, Plagueis!
But that would be hilarious, you can also imagine
when there's some like really creepy shit, you know, reveal of them at some point in a well-made show where it could be powerful, you know, because it's a character we kind of know about, but we don't really know anything about and officially anymore in the kind of canon.
Right.
I mean, there has to be some connection, right? If this show's connected to the Sith and it's set roughly, we think, 100 years before The Phantom Menace, that's what creator Leslie Headland's kind of described it as, roughly 100 years before The Phantom Menace, then either Plagueis or his master, who apparently is canon, Darth Tenebris, has to be involved in some way, surely. I mean, you know, Plagueis didn't just pitch up, train Palpatine over a weekend, And then Palpatine off them and went, you know, I'm the master now, Daddy.
Have you ever heard the story of Darth Plagueis? Then do that and just tell the story.
Lasted a whole weekend.
Weekend at Plagueis's.
I mean, yeah, you can make it so that the actor. By the way,
that's a great idea for the show. Palpatine has to make people believe that Plagueis is still alive for a weekend, and he's already killed them in sleep. So he animates him.
I did this a bit too early.
that's good robot chicken right all over it.
What if? So, like, what do you think? Like, Acolyte, what, 4, maybe 5 seasons? Yeah,
I mean, I don't know, but you know, it depends how it does.
Well, Kyle's look on that, he's what do you think, Kyle?
I don't know, I can't say no because we don't know any story, like we don't know what it's going to be like. So of course, if it's if it's good, sure. I don't necessarily see this being the one to get 4 or 5 seasons, like Mandalorian seems to potentially be on the path to.
All right, so let's say conservatively, we'll say it's probably going to get a second season. Let's just put it that way, because they're going to.
Yeah, I mean, I think that is.
If they're still looking at giving Fett a second season,
yeah,
I've never
exactly.
heard any talk about so, it being a limited series. So,
all right, so if, on the short end, if it's 2 seasons. It could be the buildup towards Plagueis, right? And you know, you do maybe a little bit of time jump there and stuff like that. And so, like at the last arc of the season 2 would be, you know, Plagueis coming into the mix of it. If it goes longer, let's say it gets to 4 seasons, the 4th season, you know, could be right around. It could be the story of Plagueis becoming a Sith and stuff, and then leading that way.
Palpatine. Okay, so you want to know what the kind of fan theory is, which. Doesn't get any too many potential spoilers. So you remember we talked about that there was these Sith acolytes, and that the Aura character supposedly becomes kind of friendly or teams up with another one who's an alien, not a human character. There's a lot of people wondering whether that is or will become. You know, obviously they wouldn't be called Plagueis at this point. That character might actually be Plagueis, and that we see Plagueis become a Sith apprentice and then a Sith lord, but with this other character there driving the story, kind of rather than
that would be something. That would be interesting.
Character.
Yeah,
it's possible. But again, that's pure speculation based on, I once again must point out, unvalidated rumors that we cannot say for certain. The only thing that's really going for these guys at the moment is that they genuinely did leak proper details from Tales of the Jedi, so we can kind of verify that those were legit. We just don't know when it comes to the Acolyte.
What about, I mean, how much canon is there with this guy now? Like, do we know about, and how much canon with his species do we know about how long they live? Could he potentially already be a big player 100 years ago, and maybe future seasons follow, you know, acolytes of the dark side, so to speak, instead of just this particular time, it's the acolyte. And then, I don't know, do they go with training a young Papa Palpatine? Would you be interested in something like that? Shocking, I mean, you're shaking your head no.
Nah, I'm done with the Sidious Palpatine thing or whatever.
Me too.
No, I disagree, because as much as I hated the fact that in the end, even though I pretended I kind of liked the idea at first, but it really was poorly executed once I thought about it. I hated the fact that they brought Palpatine back, but Palpatine pre him being defeated is okay for me, because he's still one of the best characters in Star Wars. So actually, if you were talking about a Palpatine on the rise, and we saw him being duplicitous
in like season
end up
three or
killing like Plagueis and taking over the Sith role himself, I'm not against that. That's quite a cool story to tell, you know, and we've never really had a story
because we know, like, I don't want a show of a character that I know the ending for. Like, that's the thing that gets me. Like, if you start bringing Palpatine in, say season 2, season 3, then it's like, we know
I'm
how
gonna,
this is
going
to end.
I'm just going to throw a name at you, or the Bear Call Soul. One of the best shows ever made for TV, and you absolutely kind of know what happens to that guy and all the characters at the end, apart from a few details.
But Saul wasn't one of the main characters of Breaking Bad. Saul comes in what, season 3?
It's Palpatine. I mean,
Palpatine is like, it's the whole reason why Anakin becomes Vader. Like,
and
he's orchestrating
very often in the movies. The most focused Palpatine gets in any of the movies.
He's the puppet master. He's literally the puppet master of this whole entire story.
See him much in OT till Return of the Jedi.
I know, but here's my issue with it. And I mentioned this when we were talking about where we could see him again. We saw him in hologram form on Kenobi, of course, but we were curious whether or not he might be in propaganda or a speech of something in Andor, right? And I had mentioned then that it's unfortunate, because that is, you know, before the rise of Skywalker, that would be something if you said, hey, could we do that? I would be absolutely, I'm down with that. But now, since rise, I don't want him used anywhere in
it's
anymore.
A shame, because he's so good, you know, and the fans
even
love him.
Batch,
he's so good at the role. But, you know, I wish he had said no to Rise of Skywalker, but that's not his fault. That's not his fault at the end of the day.
Not.
I mean, that's on Abrams and Terrio, who wrote the fucking idea in the first place and come up with it. I'm on it. They must have been smoking bongs that day or something like that. Just like, I remember they were shooting up or something like that. They were like so frustrated. We don't know what, we've got 3 months till we start filming this. We don't know what to do. Let's shoot smack and see what we come up with. That's the only thing I can think of why they thought, let's just fuck up the whole thing and we'll bring, you know, Palpatine back. How did he come back? We won't tell them, man. That's how we'll do it. We won't even
Should've
tell them.
Should have just kept Snoke as the...
We'll just get Poe Dameron to say somehow he's returned.
And now we got to spend Bad Batch and Mandalorian retreading Heir to the Empire.
I mean, but think about it. What made Mando season 1 so great was that it was a bunch of new characters. It was a bunch of new stuff, and we didn't know where this story was going to go. And nothing against season 2. I still like season 2, but a lot of these cameos. when you go back and watch season one still holds up as great. Season 2, it, you know, there are some great episodes, but then it's like
I haven't watched them again in a while, but I'd have to hard disagree with you compared to, like, I thought season 2 was far better than season 1. Like, season 1 had a lot of dead episodes that just did nothing for me. And when we reviewed it, we were very critical of the middle 3, which was, I think, was 4, 5, and then 6 was a little bit better. I mean, when you compare that to season 2, where we've got the Migs Mayfield, you know, episode, you know, there was nothing that good in season 1. There just wasn't.
The Mayfield episode still stands as one of the best.
All right, but let's think about why you Let's look at why you guys love season two so much. It's based off of the cameos. You get the return of Boba Fett in one episode.
Not me.
Some people are, but the cameos, Skywalker cameo only turns up a little bit at the end. Ahsoka only turns up a little bit in Mando kind of season two.
But each episode has their surprise cameo.
There's a lot of people that like it about the
larger, you know, Bo-Katan sticking around, Ahsoka's going to stick around. Luke come back and book a Boba Fett, you know, so it wasn't as if they just forgot him and left him and said that was just the one cameo. And actually that episode of Book of Boba Fett was fucking amazing. Do you know what I mean?
Right, but it was because of the cameo, like, oh, we got Boba Fett coming back. You can't tell me the episode, the ice episode with the frog lady or whatever was amazing. That was complete garbage.
I like
that. No way.
Mike, get the hell out of here.
Mike,
the
show's over. I quit. That was 100% better than the ATST episode, the village episode from season one, which was nothing, where Cara Dune was introduced just to go, hey, I'm going to be a guest star on this show.
I'm going to be on this show now. Yeah, I'm in here now.
The Cara Dune episode,
what was episode five of Mando season one again? Remind me what it was. I've actually, it's the one where I said you could just completely miss it out. You could literally go from...
Is that the one with Fennec?
Yes, the Fennec Shand episode, that's fucking trash. Other than the fact that Fennec then shows up and it kind of teases into Boba Fett, that's the only part. That's the last 30 seconds of that show is all you
that was
watch.
Awful.
The rest of it is just garbage. That weird.
Other than, other than the.
Dude,
other
that
than
one
the
is still better than the
attack,
ice episode. That snowplant episode was complete
garbage.
But the freaking frog lady? Are you kidding me?
I like the frog lady.
Oh my God.
I was fine with it.
Sith baby frog lady.
You know, Grogu eating her eggs and stuff and everything.
Yeah, that was great. That was great.
That was part of Grogu's development.
The kid is a child killer. You know.
Yeah, I mean, think of the debates we had about
that was Star Wars versions
whether,
of abortion
we're
right
going
there.
To find out that Grogu needs a massive amount of food to grow up or something like that. Listen, you know, remember his thought about
season
all that
two.
Stuff.
Listen, season two is straight up 100% based off of what. Episode, what cameo comes in what episode? The Cobb Vanth, the Ahsoka, Boba Fett. What character's showing up this week? It's like an episode of Batman.
Like Cobb Vanth, you know, Cobb Vanth is hardly a cameo. He was a character for 2 seconds in a comic. You know what I mean? You know, I don't care about Cobb Vanth in some comic I've never read. I liked the character when he appeared in Mando season two. He's played well by Timothy Olyphant.
But season two
like
is literally based off of who's guest starring in this week's episode of Mando. It's a straight up Miami Vice style.
That was just where you had a singular story and then it was bring in the guest star. That's not the case in Mando because they were all building towards something. I mean, Bo-Katan, you know, the Darksaber, it's all getting built up towards one thing.
I get what Mike is saying, that a lot of people, and Cam and I both, like, whenever you talk about what our favorite Mando thing, the first thing we talk about is the Mayfield episode in season two as one of the best. And that's not cameo reliant on anything, you know.
Okay.
Mayfield created from season one. But I do understand what you're saying. A lot of people gravitate to season two because of Ahsoka and
Luke
Bo
Skywalker
and that's
and
all
Bo
your
Fett.
Well
yeah.
let's face it's really the Ahsoka Bo and Clone War connection stuff,
yeah,
which
I'll
is
give
why
that.
they lean into it even more in other things going forward. But yeah, man, season one, there were, go back and watch the reviews. There's times where we're like, you know, hey, they're spending too much time on these establishing shots. You can tell that this is filler. Did we really need this?
I was getting bored.
It's amazing. It was amazing. Whatever.
Season two had some of that, but less.
If you were so bored like everyone else, then they would never have greenlit season two,
But we both said that we really enjoyed the first three episodes, and then it went a bit woo, and then six it kind of did get a bit better, and then like seven and eight were really good, you know.
Yeah.
So
yeah, it's all the season finale for season one. This is one of the best episodes
ever. But there was, for me, there was that big trough in the middle, and then it goes back up again.
Yeah, I mean, know, maybe moved up a little show bit has
season
that.
Two, but no, it never dropped down to like episode five levels. There wasn't an episode of season two where I thought, I'll just pick that up, scrunch it into a ball, throw it away, and the, never look at it again, and it would make no difference.
The ice planet you could throw away. They get... They literally don't need, like, if Mando just makes it to his destination, you know, without having to stop at the ice planet, nothing, that doesn't change the story whatsoever.
Oh,
the
man, Frog Lady still I'll makes it, you, maybe not with I'll give all you that, they could have just went like, straight there, I'll give you that, yeah.
Yeah, okay. they could have, but at least this time when they created filler, it didn't feel like it. It was yeah. Half decent.
Quickly.
I like the creatures.
Creatures and they were shooting it and stuff. And you know, the X-Wings had to come in and help them, and it was like, you know.
There was some good tension in that, man.
Yeah,
there was no tension in it.
We know he's going to get out of it, but still, there's claustrophobia with a giant spider in an enclosed area.
See, but we didn't. The thing is, that's going back to our original argument was having Palpatine in the Acolyte, or like at any point, like we know the ending, we know the story. Yeah. Like you're just giving me filler episodes, pretty much.
Ooh, yeah, I don't want.
How did it become dark? You know,
part of it. I'm just wondering what
did a girl crush his heart? Did he, you know, did he get picked on when he was a young boy? You know, did he get bullied? You know, is that what really set?
Well,
we're kind of.
I mean, I guess
we're
going to explore why the lead character in this show, the Acolyte, it goes towards the dark side. That seems
right,
to be
but we don't know how this is going to end up or anything like that. No, pretty much. Gonna die, but I mean that's guaranteed in almost everyone's life. So I mean, shoot.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. I guess how is it gonna think about it?
It is that one thing about what is so dangerous about sticking around certain eras, certain time frames,
right.
and mm-hmm. not picking. Mm-hmm. And that was one of my biggest things about the High Republic to begin with. I was like, 200 years is not enough. It's just not. You're still too clear. Yeah. Yoda's still alive, and sure enough, they've involved him
and
stuff.
Get rid of Yoda, though.
1,000 years behind or forward or however you want.
Is it really Star Wars then? If it's 1,000, like
how long has this
war been going on? The Star
it is still
war.
Star Wars.
But you know,
I guess it's plural, so you could have multiple wars.
Knights of the Old is beloved, and that's 1,000+.
Then the blah, how long have this planet Earth been having wars? Oh, don't worry about it. It goes back millions of years, you know, literally from when humans first,
Earth
you know, somebody probably battered somebody over the head with a stick to steal his wife.
I want that.
That
I want that rock
one.
You've got.
Yeah.
War.
Conflict, you know, in a galaxy like that. Yes,
the
High Republic is the kind of end of a peaceful period. So if you look at maybe a few hundred years before that, there was probably nothing much happening, right? But then 1,000 years before that, it's like the formation of the Republic itself. Do you know what I mean? So for before that, you had the Sith Wars, Sith versus Jedi and stuff like
Give
that.
Give me like the Thomas Edison of Star stuff. Wars, like the guy who creates the first lightsaber, you know? Give me that story.
The battery pack lightsabers they used to have in the Legends,
you know, like
old
jamming
old
everything. Yep.
It's just one
that's
of those
a good story run about it. I don't get it. It'd
be like a National Geographic documentary, like
what about a pre-hyperspace story?
Yes.
I said that.
Oh,
that
would be good.
That should be one planet, really, wouldn't it?
No. That would be the hyperspace. Charting the hyperspace lanes would be
traveling around.
Let him do a high adventure with a couple of force sensitives 1,000 years ago almost, you know, that are not trained but are blazing these hyperspace routes because they're, you know, force sensitive. You have so much wiggle room because the galaxy doesn't need to be at risk. It's a huge freaking galaxy, and that's kind of the whole point with Star Wars is Disney has made it feel so small while the EU felt massive because you could go books without hearing Luke's name more than just, you know, the fact that Luke exists, not involving him, not him saving the day, not him showing up for fucking lunch even. And yet now Disney, even though they go back to 200 years, they're still making it feel so small and claustrophobic. And that's why, yeah, I do. I say 1,000 years, future or past, start something. Because we kind of need that freshness, and if not, if you're going to play in some of these more tight-knit timelines, you know, between 3 and 4, post 6, you need to then expand beyond the big galaxy upheaval and tell us some of these stories that are it's such a big universe, so many planets, so many species, so many regional conflicts, let alone the intergalactic one. Like, you know, there's things to do with Star Wars, and just people are fucking
You could do a Breaking Bad almost in the Star Wars universe. I mean, pick any great drama that's out there, and you could do something similar in the Star Wars universe that isn't really what you would be expecting in terms of typical Star Wars kid-friendly you know, action content. Well, you could do serious drama.
And Star Wars Visions was that, and it was well received.
I love Visions.
Yeah, Visions. Like, you went in different, you know.
Yeah, because they weren't limited by, here, you know, you can't do this, you can't do that. Mm-hmm. They were just, go and do whatever the hell you feel like, and here's your building blocks. Some of it worked and some of it didn't.
Yeah, I mean, you do the, like, this, like, if you were to do, what was it, the Samurai? You know, episode and
Ronin,
the Ronin episode, and expand that out to like a full out movie or just kind of that same realm.
Jedi, Village Bride, either one of those would make a good, fun, full series.
I'm with you on that, So, yeah, no Papa Palpatine and an Acolyte for me.
Cam, I'm with Shockey on this one, surprisingly, because he likes the prequels.
I do like the prequels. I like the prequels, but I'm with you. I am with you. There is not much area left to like search. Like when we were, you know, let's even go to the sequel trilogy. So like Clone Wars, the animated series kind of patched up some holes from the prequel trilogy and stuff like that. And then you did the sequel trilogy, and then you know Mando's kind of doing that. They're patching up some of the holes from the original trilogy and sequel trilogy. Yep. But then that's it. Like the timeline is pretty
So what you're saying
much...
is we need to put something else in that totally contradicts the other stuff and creates a lot of
100%,
holes.
100%, so yes. Let's go crazy with it, you know?
Patch those holes up again.
But look, we need to make Predator holes franchise. Patch holes up. Look at the Predator franchise with Prey, man. Prey went way... It took this concept of the Predator, but went in a very different time period. And was an amazing movie. It's same still. It's the same exact concept. We didn't get to the chopper, you know. but it's the same concept. It's still a great movie. Instead of what they try to do with Aliens versus Predator and all that BS or whatever, which was so stupid, you know.
You could have made a good Aliens versus Predator movie, but they had to just follow the comics.
Seriously, like that. Well, I mean, it's just like every video game movie out there. You have some director
advanced, and humans in exosuits and shit like that, and could actually fight against the predators.
No, you had to have the battle in some high school gym and stuff. And somehow an alien mates with a predator and makes a super predator, and Jesus. But no, but you see what Prey did? Do that with the Star Wars franchise. Go in a totally different era. You don't have to reference anything. Like
risky though, isn't it? Because like with Predator franchise was in the dot, so they had nothing to risk. It's like, well, you know, the last one was shit. It was really, really shit.
The last three were shit.
So as long as it's better than that, we're on an upward trajectory. Right. So you can take that risk. I don't know if you can do that with Star Wars and just say, right, we've decided we're going to do a silent film. Set with a new 100%. Jedi who's exploring the nature of the universe. Do you know what I mean? Or something like that.
The director of Prey, you call the director of Prey up and say, what you did with the Predator franchise, we want you to do a Star Wars.
If he just makes a film with a monster chasing somebody
Could they do the Witches of Dathomir horror movie? I swear you, life that will work. I'm telling you.
It would work. 100% it would work.
It'll work. A hard PG-13 like
No, make it rated R. Let's go for it. Let's get the first rated R Star Wars movie. Yeah, get the first rated R Star Wars movie out there.
That's as far as horror.
That would be it.
I just think horror's...
Have somebody the crash witches, their
dude, a rancor monster in a horror movie with a bunch rancor of
stopped
of,
being scary
of
for me when Boba Fett
primitive like
the
witches
the
like oh my god.
And when we
now,
get babies.
Now I don't know what to do. I got I'm yelling at Mike. I'm yelling at Cam. Like
all I just want is rated R. Damn. I want a rated R Star Wars movie. And that's it. Just and I
just
think
doesn't matter if it's good. Just as long as it's rated R.
No, I think it's got to be good. But I just. I think
I
that's
know, people,
what
it's like people. I mean, what makes a movie an R, right? That you know,
these
so,
days, sex and language,
sex, language,
blood,
and extreme violence.
Language doesn't. It's
language
is, kind of,
is irrelevant when it comes to Star Wars because
well,
it would be
yeah.
strange
yeah,
for them
okay.
to use swear words, right? So
well, they would just use
Dank
Ferrick or like they would
so
make their own.
Got, yeah,
blast.
So you then go sex or extreme violence. Do we want sex in the Star Wars universe?
Because I want to see Jabba the Hutt.
I'm of Steven Spielberg school.
Listen.
Like where Steven Spielberg cut the sex scene just before it was happening, and then you go to the next morning. I don't believe in sex scenes in movies unless it's specifically about that.
We need a Jabba sex scene. That's what we need.
No, that nobody in the world needs that. Do you know, you'll probably find it in Pornhub.
How do the Hutts...
Probably
that is
God. Whatever you can think
listen,
of, someone's made a porn movie of that.
You could
whatever.
Do a National Geographic style documentary film of like somebody following a hut around, you know, and there's a hut with a mating call and stuff like that. And they're like, whoo!
A mating call? What has it suddenly become non-sentient at this point?
Oh my God.
What if
Cam?
What
I think
if,
I think us the humans even have some weird.
We got some mating
noises.
Calls.
Yeah, we've got some
yeah,
mating calls. Yeah. It might have some words in there like,
but yeah,
hey, baby,
you know
but
what?
That's
my
a mating
point
call.
Is, my point is that all we're left without the trifecta, if you like, of things that make some R-rated with Star Wars is extreme violence. It's the only thing we've got left.
Listen, if you watch the Clone Wars, there's a lot of extreme violence.
Is that
there.
What you want? Gore in a
yes.
Star Wars movie?
Yes. But like, I want it like horror style. Like, I don't want just like.
What's good about
I don't
gore?
Want just like
what's
lightsaber
saying,
battles
oh,
and people
what,
cutting their arms
well,
off or whatever.
What's not
I want
good about gore? Blood and,
it's
and
just,
guts.
It's just
I'm.
Pretend.
I'm my biggest, like, the thing I'm most psyched about right now is Chainsaw Man. And that is nothing but gore. Porn.
Okay,
the dude has chainsaws coming out of his.
I don't.
Face
I'm just not.
Hands.
I couldn't.
I
agree,
want
I don't
that.
Get it.
Everybody.
I don't get it. It doesn't scare me. It doesn't impress
it's
me.
It's not about
you know?
Being. Well, I want
to
be. To scared,
me, an adult is having adult themes.
Listen,
you know?
I get what you're saying, but it's sometimes like you, like in for example, Marvel. You can't have a PG-13 Deadpool. That's it's just you can't
they're
have a PG. You can't have a PG-13 Punisher. They tried that and that failed. You have to go in
gore.
Some characters. You have to go rated
Punisher,
R.
Punisher extreme
so,
violence because he kills people for
right,
fun. Yeah, I get it.
He doesn't do it for fun.
Well, he kind of does. You know.
No, he's very, very,
he's very methodical.
About
well, he's very
yes.
serious.
It
he
is.
Doesn't
it
like
is
it,
punishment.
But, you know. But I've read the various comics where, like, you know, do you remember that comic? Was it Civil War where? Some the bad guys and the good guys all kind of mix together into clans, and he just comes
yep.
into one and sees a couple of bad guys and just starts blowing their head off in front
well,
of
it's because
America.
There's more. They already had done things bad. He wasn't gonna. He's
yeah,
not Batman waiting
like,
on Joker to bust loose and kill people again. Like
yeah.
Punisher kills because that's how you ended in his mind. This is not me advocating
yeah.
for.
Like, listen, I'm not asking for like
he kills
a
to end
like,
the cycle.
Yeah, I'm
not because
for
he enjoys
like a...
it.
A rated R Darth Maul film. I don't need that. But if you're going to go Dathomir and do that film, horror, gore, guts, and stuff like that, it's got to be rated R. Just that.
So where's the hook? Where's the hook in something like, who do we... I mean, I know this is us getting really...
Somebody
hooks,
crashes
yeah, but...
their ship into the planet, has no idea what they're doing.
Has to survive
has
on,
to survive.
On Dathomir
like,
with
oh,
these crazed
be...
witches
yes.
doing all sorts of black Sith
yeah.
magic, the Rancors, like...
Some smuggler who's got
can't
to
just
being chased black, down, ship gets hit, crashes
no.
into
no. oh, what, off,
I bet you
off himself?
And no. shoot... Witches.
It would. It could work. It could.
Yes, 100%. It could work.
I'll write and direct Disney. Kyle M at L.
It all depends on the director. That's all.
I'm not.
If you get like
as a Disney
James Wan, James Wan does a horror Dathomir movie.
Yeah, like just don't get like M Night Shyamalan to do it or whatever. Just do. Because, like, I only say that right now because I have my TV on and it's After Earth is on right now. And I'm like, God, this is a horrible movie. Like,
Anyways. Horrible. Once you've brought up M. Night Shyamalan, I think that's the show.
Yeah, you know, you've said everything there is to say. I'm going to wait for Star Wars. It was really at that point, haven't you? Yeah, so we will wrap it there, everyone. Please tune in. We'll be back next week. Check out all our other videos on the Genreverse Podcast Network, as we kind of briefed you on this at the start of the episode. And you can find our details down below here. We've got our kind of Twitter handles up there on the screen. You can see if you're on podcast, I'm at LRM _ Cam. I'll ask the other two guys to give you the details in a second. And please just reach out to us if there's anything you want to see us talk about more or less on the show. If you think Mike's crazy for what he said about Mando, or you think I'm crazy for not wanting an R-rated Star Wars movie. Really, we've
all had
quite extreme opinions this week, so if you think any of us are talking absolutely at our ass, we probably are, but feel free to come and let us know. Where can they find you, Kyle?
At that Kyle Malone on Twitter, and doing all sorts of anime stuff, watching and reacting to Classroom of the Elite Season 2 and Violet Evergarden. So, check all that out.
And Shoki, yourself.
You find me at LRM_Shoki on Twitter. Email me at michael@lrmonline.com. I'm not crazy. Season 1 was better than Season 2 of Mando, and we do need a rated R Star Wars film. If you guys want to join in on the podcast, you want to write, you feel like you've got an opinion, you got something crazy like me, you want to share out there with the rest of the world, contact me. We'll get you on, and yeah, you can just keep going from there and do as much as you want, as little as you want.
Okay. Well, Kyle, you always say the line, so I'm going to let you say it.
All right.
May the Force be with you
guys.
Oh, God.
Mary redeemed a $50,000 cash prize playing Chumba Casino online.
I was only playing for fun, so winning was a dream come true.
Chumba Casino is America's favorite free online social casino. You, too, could have the chance to win life-changing cash prizes. Absolutely anybody could be like Mary. Be like Mary. Log on to ChumbaCasino.com and play for free now. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18-plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details. The voice in the preceding commercial was not the actual voice of the winner.